So the Rishi of this Upanishad is Angiras, and the student is Shaunaka Rishi, who approaches the teacher. Shaunaka was a very successful householder, but he approaches the teacher Vidhivat. That means in the right way, with humility, with a lot of respect, and with an attitude of surrender, not with an attitude of doubt, but sincere effort to know. And he says, Kasminnu bhagavo vijñate sarvamidam vijñatam bhavati iti. So he says, tell me that knowing which everything comes to be known, everything, whatever in this universe. It is like when we know gold, we know all the ornaments. If you know H2O, you know all the waters. So what is that knowledge, knowing which there is nothing more to be revealed? Very, very beautiful question. And that question forms the basis of the entire Upanishad. So we see that student is also very great. And then to that student, the Rishi tells there are two kinds of vidyas in mantra number 4, para and apara. Para is the higher, apara is the lower. And so what is apara in mantra number 5? The Rishi says all the Vedas, Rig, Ved, Yajur, Sam, Atharved, all come in lower, upara. You say Vedas, yes. Then Shiksha, the phonetics, all the rituals, the grammar, etymology, all the language of Sanskrit, all the chandas, even astronomy, all that. So anything that you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, think, everything comes in lower Vidya. So then what is higher vidya? So it says parayaya tad aksharam adhigamyate. Para vidya is only the one that will take you to Akshar Brahma, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Brahma, one who the knowledge that takes you there is the only knowledge worth pursuing. And then in mantra number 6, the qualities of Brahman has been given. It is invisible, it cannot be grasped by the hands or even by the mind or intellect. A gotram, it has no gotra because it is the first one. There is no family, he has no class, he has no eyes, ears, hands, or feet. But because nothing of this physical body belongs to Brahman, but that consciousness is what illumines all our sense organs and our organs of action. And then this Brahman is Nityam, is eternal, always was, is, and always will be. It's all pervading everywhere. It is subtler than the subtlest. Even space is, it is even subtler than space. And it is imperishable, and it is the origin of all the beings. Bhuta yonim, so animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, and the inanimate objects. And who knows it? Dhira, the wise person. Pashyanti, they say, Pashyanti means see, perceive, but here what it means is known or understood, not but seen as an object. Brahman cannot be seen. How will it be known? It will be covered in later mantras. And then the mantra number 7, the three methods of creation have been given by the Rishi. One is how from the spider it creates the web out of itself, the entire web, which is from itself. So the spider becomes the subtle, becomes the efficient cause, material cause, instrumental cause. All three is the spider of the web. Then, but in spider, there is a personal desire why the spider is creating the web. Then the second they give is the earth. From the earth, all the varieties of plants, or plants, fruits, flowers, everything grows, the trees. That means from one, so much everything emerges. But earth is inanimate. So then the third example they give is from a human head, how the hair grow. So same way from Brahman. So that means the human is sentient, he's alive. So Brahman is sentient. Brahman is sentient, it is Chaitanya, And from that Brahman, the whole universe emerged, all the variety of planets, stars, all the higher and lower worlds. And Brahman is the efficient cause, material cause, and instrumental cause. Everything is that. And then ultimately, they mention Brahmaji in mantra number 8. Brahmaji is the creator who actually creates this world out of tapas. Tapas means proper thinking. Right knowledge is required for creation, which Brahmaji has. And from that comes annam, the food. From food comes prana, our energy, the mind, all the elements, and also the karmas and the karma phala. So everything, all that comes from the creator. And then he says, from this Brahman, who is actually all-pervading and is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. He knows our thoughts even before we know them. So it is Sarvajna, Sarva with God is everywhere. He's all-knowing. And Jnanamayam, he is the source of all the knowledge. And whatever knowledge we have is from him. And that Brahma, from that Brahman comes Nama Rupa. All names and forms, the variety of creation comes from him. And annam, the food, nourishment, all is. So that we end chapter 1, section 1. Then he says this section 2 talks mostly about rituals. And the first mantra says that the rituals, all these karmas, the rituals are described in the Vedas in detail. And one who is Satyakama, who has the right motive and performs rituals, he goes to heaven. So one whose motive is heaven or in this world, that person goes to heaven and he comes back. And that is in mantra number 2, the various fires are described. The various fires, we don't need to go into detail. And then in mantra number 3, it says that if the rituals are done not at the right time, not with the right attitude, without doing charity, without, doing the proper technique, then this wrongly performed mantras can harm you. Or if not, at least you won't get the benefit. Yeah. So if the rituals have to be performed in the right way. And Gurudev also says that this also means karma. So karma yoga, when it is done properly, and japa and puja, that should be done, and that will take you to the highest. Then in the fourth mantra of this section, again, the various fires are mentioned, the different kinds of fires and how they are lit. And then in the mantra number 5 of chapter 1, section 2, it says that one who performs these mantras properly in the right way, does the rituals, then the flames take him to the
Surya.
higher worlds. Devanam Pati, that means Indra. So again, it says take him to heaven, one who does these rituals. And again, from there, he or she will come back. Well, so heaven is not a permanent place. This person returns. So that's what he says, that these rays will tell him, come here, sir. So they will welcome this person to heaven, where he will enjoy all the joys, all the happiness, but it is just temporary. In heaven, he will enjoy. And then the Upanishad will put it down, all these mantras, all these rituals. If they are done with a particular desire, rituals done for a particular desire, either to go to heaven or done so that I may get a lot of wealth or I may get power, rituals can give you all that. Then those who do them, they are said to be mudha. Because these rituals are adrida, they are temporary. The result of these yajnas is temporary. And jara mrityu te punaravapi yanti, in mantra number 7, they again from heaven, come back to body, live in this human body, go through old age, death. So the cycle goes on and on. So what he's saying is these rituals should not be done with desire. In eighth, they are using very strong language that people who think that these rituals alone will take you to the highest, you don't need to do anything else, they call themselves panditam manyamana. They think they are panditam, but they are mudha. They are deluded. And andhe naiva niyamana yathandaha in mantra number, it says, just as the blind leading the blind. You know, we have a famous phrase, blind leading the blind. So these people who don't have the right knowledge, and then those who follow him, both go in the ditch. This also comes in Kathopanishad, this mantra. And then in mantra number 9, it is said that these people who out of ignorance think that this alone is to be done. We don't need to do all this meditation, listening to talks, don't need to study Upanishads. Just come and do rituals, you will get the highest. And they do it out of desire. So these people who do desire-prompted actions, rituals, they are called balaha. They are called children by the rishi. And again, these people, kshina lokas chavanti. So they may go to heaven, and then they come back to the lower worlds of this earth, or may even go further, like, you know, animal yoni and also so on. Then in mantra number 10, see, everything is answered. In mantra number 10, he says, how about if I do good deeds? Ishtapurtam, I'll do good deeds. I'll build hospital. I'll build orphanage. I'll do charity. But I don't ask me to go to the temple. Don't ask me to listen to lectures. Don't ask me to study, meditate. I'll just do service. As long as I am live a good life, I don't harm it. And people say that. Even people have told me that. So they say that these people, yes, by doing good deeds, you will go to heaven, but your journey will not be complete. Again, you have to come back to this world and again go through this whole cycle of birth, you know, 9 months in the mother's womb and birth and diaper and toilet training and study and marriage and children, grandchildren, all that you have to go through again and again. So how about in mantra number 11, now the rishi is giving us a solution that those who do these rituals and other techniques that he mentioned do tapas. Tapas means austerity. They do rituals, they do prayer, but they do it with shraddha, with faith in the higher. And they are vidwan. They have also studied the scriptures, studied the Upanishads. And bhiksha charyam charantaha, and they live with bhiksha. That means they practice some amount of sannyas, you know, withdrawal. Does not mean that all have to go to the forest, but live a life of renunciation. And through the path of the sun, there is, you know, Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. So the path of the sun is called Uttarayana. And with that path, if they do all this sincerely, knowledge, tapaha, shraddha, you know, puja and rituals, then they go to Brahma Loka, where Brahmaji himself teaches them. They do not come back. They do not have another birth, but they have to stay with Brahmaji for 4 billion years till the next cycle is completed, but they are enjoying. And 4 billion years is not, for us, seems a lot. For them, it is like one day of Brahmaji is 4 billion years. So it's not that they are suffering, and they are living in extreme joy, and Brahmaji himself is teaching them. In mantra number 12, the actual meeting of the student and the teacher is explained very, very beautifully. This is a very important mantra. Pariksha lokan karma chitan brahmana. So a brahmana here does not mean the brahmana caste, but the seeker of Brahman, seeker of truth. Having seen the world of karmas, then he realizes that none of these karmas will take me beyond karma, to that which is beyond karma. So karmas will help, but will not take me to the highest goal of Brahman, because Brahman cannot be reached by karmas, only by knowledge. So tad vijnartham vijnanartham sa gurum eva abhigachet. So such a student who has that sincere desires, they can come to the guru alone. That is the only way, and he should come with surrender and humility. And also the qualities of the guru are given. The guru should be Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, should have the knowledge of the scriptures and should have abidance in the truth. See, there may be a professor of Sanskrit who can translate the Upanishads, give talks in the university, but if he himself does not have the highest experience, he cannot be a guru. And then in the 13th, it is said, what about the duty of the teacher? So they say that if a student approaches you sincerely seeking knowledge, has quietened his mind, has is Vidwan, he has intelligence, then such a person should be given this knowledge of Akshara Purusha. So the supreme knowledge of Brahma Vidya, it is the teacher's responsibility to give the knowledge if the student has sincere and has all these qualities. Now we come to chapter 2, the next chapter 2 and section 1, where it says that how does this creation happen? Again, different methods of creation are given. So they say, like there is a blazing fire, and from fire, sparks come out. They come out, they stay for a few seconds, and then they fall back into the fire. So, same way, from Brahman, we are all little sparks. This whole universe is like sparks, and we all come from Brahman, we stay for a while, and we merge back into Brahman. So that is the method of creation. They have given a simile. Now, mantra number 2, again, Banerjee ka phone. Usko bolo, I'll call him. Maine ko phone kiya. In the mantra number 2, there is a description of Brahman, who is divine, who is resplendent, formless, and Purusha. He is the supreme being who is inside and outside, everywhere. God is inside me and outside, everywhere, and is unborn and is beyond the mana. Even mind cannot reach it. It is pure and it is beyond even the Akshara, beyond even the creator. So this supreme Purusha is beyond the creator, and that is the is described. And from that comes prana in mantra number 3. Tasma jayate prano. This mantra number 3 also comes in Kaivalya Upanishad, that from this Brahman comes prana. Prana means the energy, the life principle, and then from that, the mind, the senses, and the five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth. All of them, everything comes from that Brahman, from that creator. And then this mantra number 4 is similar to Purush Suktam, where it says his fire is his head, his eyes are the sun and the moon, the directions are his ears, and the Vedas are his speech. This wind, the air is prana, is his prana. And his mind is this entire universe. So this same thing comes in Purush Suktam. And his feet are the prithvi, are the earth. And he is the inner self of all beings. So he's not only outside, but is my true inner self, the Lord within. And then from that Purusha come the sky, come the sun. There are five fires. One is the Agni, the first fire, then second is sun, third is moon, fourth is cloud. That means all the creative forces, and fifth is man and woman. So these five creative fires are which because of which this creation goes on, and all of them have come from the Purusha, from that creator, from that Brahman. And then from him come all the mantras, the Sam Vedas, all the mantras, and all the hymns, all the sacrificial formula, all the yajnas, all the rituals, and dakshina, all the charity and ceremonies, everything comes from him. Samvatsara, the time when the yajna should be done, then who should become a yajmana, the lokaha, the worlds, everything, and that is all purified by the sun and the moon. That means the energy of the sun and moon purifies everything. And then in mantra number 7, all the devas, all the gods that run the universe, Indra and the Lord of the fire, Lord of the rain, Lord of the oceans, all the gods come from him. And Sadhya, all the celestial beings, then the humans, animals, birds, the prana and apana, breathing in and out, the ability, all the what do you call physiological functions, the grain, food, tapaha, then shraddha, faith, satyam, truth, brahmacharyam, self-control, and vidhi, all the values. So all the values and all the good qualities and the ability to perform good activities like tapa and all come from him. So even our ability to remember God comes from God itself. And then in 8, it talks about the various worlds, the various pranas, the various worlds, the 7 worlds that they call, and all the homas, and all that is Guhashaya Nihita. The Lord is seated in the cave of our heart, in the cave of all living creatures, and that's where the pranas move around, and that's how the human being is sustained. Then in mantra number 9, the oceans, the mountains, the rivers, all the herbs, all the plants, and everything comes from him, and he stays in the height heart of all of us as the antaratma, the inner self, the subtle body. He stays as the subtle one. And Purusha is, and that Purusha alone is to be known. That is, it says, one, he should be known. And how to do that? By doing karma, karma yoga, tapa, tapa, by doing the right tapa, austerities. And one who does that, and all practices, all the earlier discipline. And where do you know God? In your heart. Even though God is everywhere, the closest is in your heart, in the middle of the chest. So that's where you contemplate, you meditate, and that's where the God is known, experienced, even though he's everywhere. It's like US is everywhere, but to meet US, you have to go to Washington, D.C. So in the same way, that is the end of chapter 2, section 1. Then section 2, he says that this, again, this Brahman's qualities are mentioned. He is right in the heart. He is moving in the heart, very bright. And it is great, Padam. It is Mahat Padam. It is the bigger than the biggest. The whole universe is samarpitam, is contained in him. The entire universe for trillions of miles and all the 14 worlds and even beyond he goes. And Sad and Asad, you should know him as one who knows this this knowledge. He becomes the highest of beings. Both form and formless, both Bhagwan is. He's form and formless, and he's all pervading, and should be known as within and without. And one who knows it becomes the highest. He becomes adored by all others. That means a Brahma Gyani is worshipped by everyone. And in that is the all these luminaire. It is subtler than the subtlest. All the worlds are in it. And that should be penetrated. In mantra number 2, he says you should penetrate that. What do they mean by penetrate? How can I penetrate Brahman? So in the third mantra of chapter 2, section 2, third and fourth mantra are very important. He says you should take a bow. Bow comes from the Upanishads. An arrow should be sharpened with upasana. And with meditation, you should meditate. And then, having pulled it towards you with full attention, with the mind completely focused, make Akshara your goal of the arrow. Akshara means the Supreme Brahman should become the goal, and that is explained again in mantra number 4, Prano, Pranavo, Dhanu, Sharo, Yatma. This is another famous mantra that everyone should memorize. Chapter 2, section 2, mantra number 4, where it says, make Om your bow. Chanting of Om should become the bow. And arrow is what? My mind. So when I chant Om, then my mind should be sharpened with upasana and in meditation. And Brahma should be my goal. So where does the arrow go? Arrow goes to the target. So Brahman is the target. And apramatena, and without, with no carelessness, carefully this arrow should be pulled towards you, and then when it is released, just as the arrow penetrates the target and becomes one with target, so your mind, when it is directed towards Brahman, should become one with Brahman. That means I should lose myself in that. So the mind should merge in Brahman. That is the beautiful meaning of this mantra. The technique of meditation is given, how to meditate. And then again in this Brahman, again and again, they emphasize the heavens are there, earth, space, mind, pranas, and that alone is to be known. See, Atmanam, know that within you, that alone is necessary to be known. Anya Vacha Vimuncha, in the mantra number 5, it says, give up all other useless talks. The only thing worth talking about is Brahman. The only thing worth knowing is Brahman. Everything else is Anya Vacha, is useless talk. Why? Because this knowledge is Amritasya Setu. It is the bridge that will take us to immortality. Now, how the Brahman is stationed in the heart, they give an example. Just as the wheel is there and it has the hub and has various spokes, and all the spokes meet in the hub, and that's how the wheel functions. So in our heart, this not self or consciousness abides in the heart, and there are thousands of nadis. Nadis are not veins and arteries, but nadis are energy channels, thousands of them. They connect with Brahman within. So that is how, and the guru tells us in mantra number 6, that is the one you should meditate on, and swasti, and he wishes us all the best. If you follow this, you will go beyond darkness. You will go beyond ignorance. So we get the Rishi's blessings in mantra number 6. In 7, again he said, one, this, and this is the glory of this Brahman. He's all knowing, he's everywhere, in space, everywhere, in the mind, the pranas, and in the heart. And one who knows it, the dhira, the wise person who know that, they become amritam, they become immortal and blissful. What is the benefit of this knowledge? You get joy and you get immortality. You realize your immortal nature. And in mantra number 8 is another famous mantra, Bhidyate Hridaya Granthihi. So what it means is that once you get this knowledge, then your knot of ignorance gets cut, K-N-O-T. So our knot of ignorance gets cut, all our doubts are removed, and all our karmas are gone. So realize master does not have any Sanchit karma, Agami karma, none of them. And even Prarabdha karma, the master just lives as being detached. And who is that master? Drishte para avare. So one who has seen the higher and the lower. So knows the world and knows Supreme Brahman. Also, some people translate as one who has known the Sagun and Nirgun Brahma. You know, the form like Sri Krishna, Sri Rama, and the formless. So that is how they know God. And then this Brahman is beyond all the koshas. The self is beyond all the koshas. It is effulgent. It is the light of consciousness. And Brahman is virajam, has no rajas, has no agitations, and no parts. And Jyotisham Jyoti, it is the light of all lights. And Atma Vido Viduhu, the knowers of truth only know that. And in mantra number 10, Na Tatra Suryo Bhati Na Chandra Tarakam, which we chant at the time of Aarti, that the sun and the moon and the stars cannot reach it, how will my little fire reach that highest state? So he says, all I'm doing, using that to remind myself that from him, all the lights come, the sun, the moon, the electricity, the fire, everything, all the energy of the entire universe is originating from God. And then where is Brahman in mantra number 11? He says Brahman is in front of us, behind us, right, left, up, down. And whole world is Brahman. See, that's what it says. This whole universe is Brahman, is the visible expression of that reality. And then in the chapter 3, section 1, this very beautiful example of the two birds. As you know, the picture also is of the two birds is there on the Upanishad. So these two birds are friends and they live on the same tree. One bird eats the fruit, and if the fruit is sweet, he gets happy. If it's bitter or sweet, he starts crying. But the other bird is just watching, not doing anything. So this represents the self, the Atma, and the Jiva, the ego. Our ego runs around looking for happiness and joy in the world. When we get happiness, we get happy. When things don't go well, we start crying. But there is this consciousness or Atma that watches, illumines everything. And that is also compared to Ishvara and Jiva. Ishvara, the Bhagwan, and Jiva, the individual. So that is the two birds, but actually they are not two. Actually, there is only one. If there were two birds, then it would be duality. Me and God would be separate. So in mantra number 2, it is said that when the lower bird realizes that that supreme bird alone is, realizing his glory, then he merges, becomes one with that, and he goes beyond all shoka, all sorrows go away, because he realizes that that supreme bird and I are one. We are not separate. So the two birds, you start with two, and me and God. Ultimately, God alone is, and I don't exist as this ego. And in mantra number 3, he says, one who knows this Brahman in this way, as the creator of the universe, the originator of everything, such a Vidwan, he goes beyond Punya and Papa, because Punya and Papa belong to the ego, to the subtle body. But he has gone beyond ego, and Paramam Samyam Upaiti. He attains a state of equipoise and calmness and very, very lot of peace. And then in mantra number 4, it says, one who knows this Brahman, what happens to him? He said, Bhavati Nati Vadi. Then he doesn't talk much. He doesn't do useless, because he said there is nothing, no need to talk. There is nothing more. I have accomplished everything. Yeah, if somebody comes to ask him for knowledge, he will do. But a lot of them just go to Mauna. They don't even talk, because they say there is nothing more to speak. And Atma Krida Atma Rati. And what do? They go within and enjoy the inner peace, the inner bliss, the inner happiness. And such a person is said to be the best among the knowers of Brahman. So that's what it means, that the inner peace can only be experienced when you know God's presence. And then mantra number 5, how do we get this Brahman? So very good quality, satyam, truth, tapas, austerity, samyak jnanena, with the right knowledge, and brahmacharyena, living a life of self-control, nityam, always. Not once in a while I, you know, do some prayer and then the next day I don't feel like doing, or one day I tell the truth, next day I not. No, living a life of self-control, and who knows this as the inner light of consciousness, and he becomes Kshina Dosha. Yatayaha. So you have to put effort. It cannot just happen, okay, I heard one lecture and I can get it. No, I have to constantly follow, do karma yoga, bhakti, some prayers, and then dhyana, meditation, all that. Effort is required, which is said in all the scriptures. Then in mantra number 6, Satyameva Jayate Na Anritam, that we also have used in our national symbol in India, truth alone prevails, not untruth. And with truth, the path of to God is straightaway revealed to us. And he says the rishis who follow this path and have no desires and have become desireless, then they reach that supreme abode of truth. So one who follows these qualities and lives a life of truthfulness follows that. And then again in mantra number 7, again the qualities of Brahman again and again are given to remind us that it is bigger than the biggest. It is Divyam. It is the light of consciousness. It is Achintya Rupam. Mind and intellect cannot reach it. It is beyond the thoughts. It is subtler than the subtlest. It is further than the furthest universe star. And closer than the closest. It is right in my heart. It is me. So Brahman is not somebody far away. God is not somebody far away. And one who knows it, you have to know him in your heart. That is the way to know the Lord. And then in mantra number 8, eyes cannot see it, speech cannot describe it, even though we are trying, the Upanishad is trying. Senses cannot know it, tapas cannot reach it, rituals cannot reach it. He said, then how can we reach it? So in the third line, it says, Jnana Prasadena Vishuddha Sattva, clarity of knowledge and purity of mind. So clear knowledge from the guru and purity of mind means removing all the negativities of the mind. Then meditating upon that Brahman, you can reach it. So again and again, they are giving the importance of meditation. So if you are not meditating every day, please start. That is essential. Then in mantra number 9, he says that how do we know it? Ultimately, it's the intellect will reach. You have to start by the intellect, get the right knowledge. And then go beyond the intellect. So they say the light of the intellect means the consciousness within will is where you have to reach. So you have to go beyond. And in this consciousness, our whole body is in there. The pranas, the intellect, the senses, all are weaved, just as in, in a cloth, when there is weaving, all the threads are weaved. So it is all intricately mixed in our body. And then in mantra number 10, it says, wherever you wish to go, you will go. A person who puts his effort in power, he will get power. In eating, he will get eating. In wealth, he will get wealth. And one who wants God will get God. But they say, but if you want worldly powers, then in mantra number, he says, go to a man of realization. He can give you worldly benefits also. You want a child, you want money, you want your business, go to him, he'll give it to you. He says, how about if I have no desire for progeny, for money, wealth, all that? He says, still go to him because he will give you that also. So they have not artha and kama, wealth and desire you can get, or even moksha you can get. So the men of realization or the wise gurus we should approach. And he knows this truth, and one who upasate in mantra number 1 of the next chapter, one who worships this wise guru, wise man of realization, he goes beyond birth and death. And he says, but those who want desire, then they go to the desire, whatever you desire. But if you do not want desire, and if you have done all the right things, then such a man in this life itself, all his desires get fulfilled, then there is nothing more for this person to get. Now, chapter 3, section 2, mantra number 3, It says this Atma cannot be obtained by talking, by discourses. Even though we are talking, that you cannot get it. You cannot get it by medhaya, by intellect, even by listening. He said, oh, then how do we get it? Yam eva aisha vrinute. One who chooses Atma exclusively, then Atma chooses him. So if you choose God exclusively, then God will choose you. If you say, I want this, 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 and also God, then that doesn't work. We have to make that our main focus, our only focus. This comes in Kathopanishad also. And then it in the mantra number 4, he says, people who have no strength, balahina, does not mean physical strength, but the mental strength to persist in this path, despite all the problems and difficulties. So also people who are lazy, you know, they cannot get it. Even tapas will not take you to that, but it will all, they will help. And also people who do wrong kinds of rituals or who do renunciation in wrong way, they will not get it. But how, who will get it? Vidwan who puts the right effort, has the right knowledge and knows the right technique, then he enters, he becomes one with Brahman. So that is the method with the right knowledge. As we said, you penetrate that. So, and then what happens to this individual in mantra number 5? One who has got this knowledge becomes totally accomplished, has becomes free of joy and sorrow, becomes peaceful. And in line number 3, he says he becomes Jivan Mukta. He knows this Brahman everywhere as me. In the line 4, once he has become with the self, then he enters. And that line 4 talks about Videha Mukti. So one is Jivan Mukti while living, and Videha Mukti is shortly after death, he becomes one with God. So one who has followed all these techniques will become one with God either in this life or shortly after death. And then mantra number 6, you know, Vedanta Vijnana. So we should clearly know the knowledge of the Vedas. We should have sannyas, means some amount of detachment, renunciation, put effort, purify your mind. Then they enter the world of Brahman. And at the time of death, they attain immortality. Death can be physical death, or in this case, just the death of the ego. When the ego perishes, what is the obstacle between me and God? The ego. That I am somebody, I do something. So that is the obstacle. In mantra number 7, how a man of wisdom, how when he dies, what happens? So they have, there are 15 kalas, you know, in an individual, 16th is Atma. So these, his gross body merges with the elements, his subtle body becomes one with the total mind. A man of realization, subtle body, doesn't go to higher, lower worlds, just merges with the total subtle body, and his karmas all get dissolved, and such a person becomes one. And of course, Atma, the consciousness, is one. So a man of wisdom, that this is the mantra they should chant when a man of wisdom is giving up his body, mantra number 7. And how does the wise person become one with God? So they've given an example, just as a rivers merge with the ocean. There are different rivers, different names, different waters. But when they merge with the ocean, they become one. So same way, a man of wisdom gives up nama rupa. Name and form are given up, free from name and form. Parat param purusham upaiti divyam. He reaches that supreme purusha. And in mantra number 9, it is says the knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. Actually, we all are Brahman, but we don't know that. But a knower of Brahman knows I am Brahman, and his whole family gets blessed. His children, grandchildren get blessed, and his students also get blessed. So kula means children, kula also means his students. And such an individual goes beyond shoka, goes beyond sorrow, goes beyond all sins. And he's free from all these knots of ignorance, becomes immortal, amritaha bhavati. Then the Vedas say in the mantra number 10, that this knowledge will not help somebody who does not do the right karmas, does not have the right knowledge, is not abiding in the truth, meditating himself, is not doing rituals, and does not have fire on his head. Fire on his head does not mean you roam around with a fire. It means the
Right.
burning desire to know. So one who has all these, such a person will benefit from this knowledge. They are saying it should not be given. What it means is you can give it, but the person won't benefit. So to benefit from this knowledge, we have to have all these. Do the right karmas, abide in this knowledge, be motivated towards Brahman, wanting to reach, and have the burning desire to know, and do rituals, prayers by myself. That is what is mentioned. And then in mantra number 11, that is the last mantra, that this knowledge was given by Angiras Rishi to Shaunaka Rishi long time ago, thousands of years ago. And it should be given to a person who has renunciation. That means we have to have some degree of vairagya, some degree of detachment to benefit from this knowledge. Otherwise, it is a waste. You're wasting your time and the teacher's time. So, in essence, what they are saying is, and then they end with Namaha Parama Rishibhyo. We express our gratitude to all the parampara of Rishi, all the way from, Brahmaji, all the way down, or we say Yadash Sadashiva Samarambham. So the Lord is the origin of the knowledge, and the gratitude we express all the way down to all the rishis, Shankaracharya ji, Ved Vyas ji, then Tapovan Maharaj, and Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda. Because of him, we have the opportunity to study this knowledge. So we end with prostrations to the rishis. So to briefly summarize, basically Brahman's qualities have been given. He's all pervasive, the light of consciousness, which illumines everything. Everything came from that, and everything merges. And it is within our heart as the illumining principle. And how do I know it? By doing Karma Yoga, by doing Bhakti, by all the paths. Karma Yoga, Bhakti, Jnana, right knowledge, doing some tapas, austerities, some vairagya, some detachment, renunciation, and regular practice of all these, and approaching a guru with humility. That's how this knowledge is obtained. And one who knows this knowledge and abides in this knowledge comes to realize his or her immortal nature, that Brahman I am. So that just as the two birds merge to become one bird, so same way the ego merges with the self. That's what we do in meditation. They say the mind should be the arrow that is shot inward towards Brahman using Om as the bow. So very, very beautiful Upanishad. Everything is given here. What are the rituals? What are the karmas to be done? What are the spiritual practices, who God is, where God is, how we can find him. And also the wrong methods and wrong techniques are also criticized, and the right ones are praised. So it's a very, very complete Upanishad. I would request everyone to please read this Upanishad by yourself. Gurudev's commentary, if you have, please read it again. And if you have an opportunity, you can listen to these talks on First Power. Okay, we'll end. And we'll see you in 3 weeks. Have a happy holiday season and a new year. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.